I don't know how much of this we're going to get through. I just got a call from my wife. She got halfway here and she decided, I'm going to turn back. So we're going to probably shoot for 8 o'clock tonight. We'll try to wrap things up a little bit quicker so you guys can get home and do so safely. So with that said, did anybody happen to do your homework from last week to look for a proverb that you can work on incorporating into your prayer life? Anybody have a proverb that they can incorporate into their prayer life that they want to share with us so that we can do the same? Oh, right there. All right. What do you got?
So one I liked was Proverbs 3:26. It says, let the Lord be your confidence.
Yeah, that's good. We should put our trust in the Lord, right? Not in men or horses of men. Yeah. Same kind of concept, right?
Yeah.
What's that say?
That says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding.
Amen.
It goes along with the way the fool is running so much. The wise man is he who seeks counsel.
Yep. Good. Don't want to be right in our own eyes, right? A couple that I like, Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. It's a good thing to pray for, that we wouldn't be lazy, that we would redeem the time well, right? Another one that I like is Proverbs 12:25. And that says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. So not only can we pray that we wouldn't be anxious, but that we could speak good words to other people so that we can help alleviate any anxiety amongst our family and friends and church. So those are some good proverbs to commit to prayer. I'm going to give you another homework assignment tonight. So I heard that Lizzie has been giving out report cards or taking notes to give out report cards for Sunday school class. So maybe we should do that. We won't do that. But if we did, Hayden would get an A. Good job, Hayden.
On the lighter side, Tyler, I like Proverbs 25:17. It says, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you.
All right. So, for those of you who didn't know, Jim is going to be hosting one of those fellowship dinners. So, be careful.
I don't think once a quarter is too often.
That is not too often. All right, well, I planned on asking you guys for input on how our speech is mentioned within Proverbs, and I'm sure that you guys could come up with a ton of different categories that are unique to what I've come up with, but here are some categories that I've kind of identified within Proverbs. Proverbs says a lot about our speech, a lot about our lips, a lot about our tongue, our mouth, and the way that we use them. It's just full of it. And so I kind of subdivided it into different categories. And I want to start off up here on the top left by looking at a couple of proverbs on listening. So I'll go ahead and grab that one, 15:28. If I could get somebody to make their way to 18:13, I'll have you read that here in a moment. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. So again, these are, and there are many more. These lists aren't exhaustive, but I just thought that was a good list that, or a good proverb, rather, that I could add to this list on listening, to ponder how to answer, not to give a quick answer, not to just speak without thinking, but to first of all listen. And somebody grab 18:13. Go ahead, Aiden. You want an A+, don't you?
He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him.
Amen. So again, listen before you give an answer, right? And I'm sure that for those of us under 40, 50, that's novel, right? Maybe for those of an older generation as well, but I think especially for those of a younger generation, we just want to be quick, right? Just snappy, get to it, especially with the advent of the internet and social media, and it seems like the quicker you can be in a response, and the sharper it is. But of course, Donald Trump is not under 50, right? And he is famous for that, just his quick wit and trying to get one over on somebody else, and because you'd be in jail type of comments, right? That's not the way that we're supposed to answer. And of course, James picks up on these proverbs in James 1:19. He warns his readers to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, right? Same kind of concept that we see all throughout the Proverbs. And then, Hayden, are you still in chapter 18?
Yes.
Could you go ahead and grab verse 15 as well while you're there?
The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge.
Are you in 18:15?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe I wrote down the wrong reference. I wrote down some reference with an 18 and 15 in front of it, and it says, "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy." So that's not necessarily speaking about listening, but it was just a couple of verses away from, I thought it was a couple of verses away from 18:13, talking about how we should use our mouth not for our own sake and our own advantage, but for others as well. All right, well, before I jump into another one of these lists, I want to do a little bit of exploration of a couple of larger passages first. So go ahead and turn with me to Proverbs 9. Yes, Jeremy.
31:8 was your reference on that.
Oh, thank you. And I got 18:13. Guess I got a little dyslexia going on.
All the same digits were involved.
Yeah, 31:8 would be that reference. I didn't get 18:13, I got 18:15, so not even the same digits. Can't even use that excuse. All right, let's try this one. Proverbs 9, and could I get somebody to read for us from verses 8 to 14? Proverbs 9, 8 to 14, Mike's got it.
"Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of your life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it." Through 14, is that what you said?
Yes, please.
"The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high places of the city."
And the Proverbs are so rich. Each one of those just has so much meaning and depth to it. We could jump in and dig into for a while. But what examples of speech do we see in just those several verses from 9, 8 to 14? Is there anything instructive there as far as our speech is concerned?
Be careful about who you reprove. I mean, if they're not someone that's seeking truth, obviously you're going to be almost wasting your time.
Yep. You don't want to cast your pearls before swine, right? Good. What else do we see there?
Basically, it's a delineation between the receiver, one who's wise and one who's a scoffer. Mm-hmm. A wise man will take instruction and reproof. A scoffer won't.
Absolutely. What about in verse 12? Verse 12 says, "If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you alone will bear it. Or if you mock, or if you scorn." So the way that we use our speech, and even in reproving, is important, isn't it? And then, sorry, did somebody else have something?
So if you're prideful, don't have
to have
wisdom, you just
think
you're wise.
Yep. Yeah. I have several proverbs about that.
It says the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Only one way we get knowledge of the Holy One.
Yeah.
His word.
Yep.
Studying His word.
That's right. He's given us truth. He's revealed it to us. He's come and tabernacled among us, and He's given us that record. And yeah, that's where we have to start, just like we looked at last week in 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? And then in verse 13, it says, "The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing." a couple of different ways that that word boisterous is translated is noisy, rowdy, brash, or clamorous. Again, going back to wisdom, just because somebody's speaking as if they're wise doesn't necessarily mean that they're wise, right? Just because somebody opens up their mouth doesn't mean that wisdom is going to come forth. 18:17, I think we looked at last week too, right? The first present his case seems wise until another comes forward to examine him. And so we have to test not just the spirits, like we're told in James, but we have to test truth that's coming forth from people that's presented as wisdom, right? All right, let's look at one other clump of passages, or clump of verses rather, a passage in Proverbs 10, 18 through 21. So I don't even have to turn the page in my Bible. Proverbs 10, 18 to 21. I'll go ahead and grab that. And again, as I do that, try to identify what categories you might put these particular verses in. Proverbs 10, 18 says that he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. How can we dissect those verses and better understand them? What's it talking about in verse 18? What category might we put that into?
Honesty.
Yeah, honesty or lying, right? Not to, and look at that, it's talking about concealing hatred. And oftentimes in our worldly wisdom, we think, okay, well, I hate this person. You know, I just don't like him. I have nothing good to say about him. I'm just going to swallow it and walk away. This verse says, he who conceals hatred has lying lips. Of course, you don't want to go off spouting and saying, hey, I hate you. You've got to strike a good balance there. But we don't want to have lying lips either, do we? What else do we see in those few verses?
Verse 19 is worth memorizing.
That's a great one, yeah.
Hard to remember that one. Tough on a preacher.
Yeah. Yep. That's an important one. Definitely worth committing to memory. Yeah, so in those ones, I got these first three that we're going to be looking at. So honesty and not speaking too much. You know, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. You need to watch what you say and try to speak as little as possible while still speaking wisdom. And then encouragement. And Proverbs has a lot to say on encouragement. So let's see if we can divide these up a little bit and tackle this honesty section to start off with. Could I get somebody to look up 4:24? Who's got that one for us? All right, Alex. 8:7-9. Who can get that one? Michael, Joseph, I'll have you get 12:17. And then I will grab Proverbs 11:13 here in a moment. But let's go ahead and start with that. Proverbs 4:24. Was that you, Alex?
Yeah.
All right.
Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you.
All right, put it away far from you. And there's an implication there that we have some control over this, right? And we need to have self-control. If we are being commanded here to put this deceitful mouth, this devious speech far from you, then we have a responsibility to do that. We have the ability to control our speech. 8:7-9. Michael?
For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge.
All right. If we still needed a proverb for a prayer, that's a great one, right? That we can incorporate into our prayers, that our speech would be honest. And he is here speaking as if this is done. They are all straightforward to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. What a great prayer for us to have as those who are representing Christ. And then 12:17, and then once you get that, go ahead and jump down to 19, Joseph.
It says, he who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceit. And then 19, truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment.
All right. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. What is this saying? How should we understand that proverb? Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment.
Salvation? Is that referring to judgment?
How so? What do you think?
So, if we give false witness, I mean, that's sin. And if we continue to walk in that sin, then we stand in judgment, right? We don't receive salvation. So.
Yeah, sin is fleeting, right?
Yeah, it's death.
We mentioned that a little bit last week, how we have a tendency to envy sinners, to look at what somebody who's not in Christ is doing and say, oh, that looks nice. You know, if I wasn't living my life in righteousness, then I could be doing just what they're doing. This kind of goes along that same path. The lying tongue is only for a moment, but truthful lips will be established forever.
That's because God looks after those who speak the truth and he protects them. That's why it's going to last forever. God will be with you forever.
Amen.
God is a God of truth.
Yep. There's a saying that all truth is God's truth. Yeah. And thereby it's eternal. You know?
Yeah. Do we always need to tell the truth?
Yes.
Yeah. Does this shirt make me look fat?
We're gonna fail.
Jeremy?
Well, that's a nice. We don't always we always need to avoid lies.
Amen.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we always need to say everything that's true all the time.
When my wife asked me if she looked fat when she was pregnant, I said, "You are absolutely the most beautiful I've ever seen you in your life."
Ladies, don't do that to your husbands. That's not nice.
It's not nice. Yeah. So you know.
What do you want us to say?
Yeah.
Question of like, is it ethical to lie to a Nazi about hiding a Jew in the attic? Or, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
It's a weird. Sometimes I guess it's okay to lie, but.
Yeah. And there will be even Christians that will use the Bible to fall down on different sides of that discussion.
There's a new theology episode about that.
There is.
Yeah. That's a lot more. In society, there's a tendency to embellish things, which in a sense is lying because you stretch the truth.
Yeah.
That's a risk that people take and don't realize that it's not productive in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah, putting in your resume for a job application, right? I mean, how many of those are embellished? And even if they're not embellished, it's just kind of awkward, right? To lift yourself up and kind of talk, and really it's kind of boasting. But it's kind of necessary to get the job sometimes, too. Well, a couple of Proverbs that we could consider here. Proverbs 11:13 says that he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals the matter. So that's kind of speaking both ways, right? If you're just going around running your mouth, talebearing, revealing secrets, that's not a positive thing. But at the same time, he who is trustworthy conceals a matter to kind of hold on to it a little bit. And just one verse before that, back in 11:12, which we have on our list under not speaking too much, that verse says that he who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent. So that verse is encouraging silence, not speaking too much. So yes, we always want to avoid lying, but that doesn't mean that it's always going to be prudent to volunteer information. You don't have to go out and tell the Nazis, hey, I got some Jews in here just so you know, right? That's not wise. That's not prudent at all. Any other thoughts on truth-telling? One thing we have to keep in mind whenever we're going through the Proverbs is that context is huge, right? Whenever we're in Scripture at all, context is king. We need to pay attention to context. Andy, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you know Proverbs 26:4-5? Or maybe I'll broaden it. Is anybody know Proverbs 26:4-5?
answer a fool according to his folly.
Uh-huh.
Do not answer a fool according to his folly. You will be like him.
Mm-hmm.
Answer a fool according to his folly so that he won't be wise in his own eyes.
Amen. And see, right there, within two verses, we're getting both, right? Do not answer a fool according to his folly. But then it gives some explanation. But the very next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. So again, context is super important when dealing with the Word of God. Yeah, Melissa.
I thought of the verse, I had to Google it because I couldn't remember where it was. But Proverbs 17:28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips,
yep.
He's deemed intelligent.
Yep. Yeah, I love that one. It's on our list somewhere, right here on Not Speak Too Much. And grab 27 right before that. What's that say?
Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding.
Cool spirit,
ESV.
Man of understanding. What's that?
ESV.
I think NASB says the same.
Oh, really?
Yep. Shaking your head at the ESV back there.
He has a really chill spirit.
That's right. So going back to talking about Proverbs 26, 4 and 5 and how it seems like it's saying two different things. We do that even with our Proverbs that we have today, right? Our own man-made Proverbs. One example is that absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? You guys have heard that. And I'm sure you felt that being away from somebody. And you're like, oh man, I really miss this person. But at the same time, we have another proverb in our society that says, out of sight, out of mind, right? You don't see somebody, you're not even thinking about them. So context matters. Are you talking about like a spouse, or are you talking about like some kid that you met in second grade? There's a pretty big difference. So context truly does matter. And we need to look at the proverbs not as law, as something that's going to be true all the time, but as principles that are guiding and they're most often going to fall within that category, but it's not absolute. It's not absolute. And with that being said, in Proverbs 12, speaking about this idea of truth-telling, Proverbs 12, 22 through 23, we kind of get both speak the truth and maybe hold back a little bit within just two verses. 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. So don't lie, deal faithfully. And then verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. So not that you have to go out and proclaim. You certainly don't want to proclaim folly. This, again, you guys kind of see both those principles even back to back to not have lying lips because that's an abomination to the Lord. And very next verse, a prudent man conceals knowledge. And so not at all advocating lying, but not volunteering information necessarily either. Any other thoughts? I thought that was an interesting concept, and we see a lot of that again throughout the Proverbs. All right. Well, let's jump into this next list and not speaking too much. Let's see if we can divide this up a little bit. Can I get somebody to grab Proverbs 11, or to grab Proverbs 11, 12? Proverbs 13, 3. Who's got that? Michael again. All right. Ellie, you can grab 14, 3. One chapter after. 17. Oh, well, Melissa just grabbed 17, 27, 28. I'll get 21, 23, 27, 2. Jeremy, Mike can get 29, 20. And Alex, 15, 2 through 4. Wow, I'm not going to remember who I gave this to, so I hope you guys remember.
13, 3, right?
13, 3, yes. Go ahead.
The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin.
All right. So again, this concept of self-control, that we have this ability not to open up our mouths, and even the fact that what we say with our mouths has big consequences, right? It's very consequential. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And then 14:3, was that Ellie?
By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them.
All right, from the mouth of a fool is a rod for his back. So he's speaking out his own punishment, so to speak, right? That's kind of an interesting word picture that we have there in Proverbs 14:3. 21:23. Is that Jeremy?
No,
nope. That was me.
Yes.
All right. And I told you guys to remember what you had. All right. 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Again, a lot of this, we need to be responsible to do these things, right? This is something that we have to actively, consciously do to guard our mouth, to guard our tongue. We see that all throughout James 3, the power of the tongue and the need to control it. All right, 27:2. Now let's see, right?
Yep. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips.
Huh. All right, why is that? Why should we let another praise us and not our own lips? Yeah, we don't want to brag and boast. And yeah, the root of that is pride, right? Yeah, that's hard to do sometimes.
Much more believable when it's someone else's mouth.
Yeah. All right, 29:20.
Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him.
All right, again, kind of going back to this concept of listening, right? If there's somebody who's just willing to speak and without thinking, that's somebody that we need to be careful in taking instruction from. In Proverbs 15:2-4, Alex?
Tongue of the wise commands knowledge, but the mouths of the fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perseverance in it breaks the spirit. Perverseness in it breaks the spirit.
Yeah, perversion in it crushes the spirit is what NASB says. And you could, I don't know if I put that in the encouragement list, but that's a good cross-reference for the encouragement. A lot of these will go in different places. But a soothing tongue is a tree of life. That's incredible power that we have with our tongue to build up, to encourage. But perversion in it crushes the spirit. Also, incredible power. And we'll look at that here in the cursing aspect. But before that, let's turn together to Proverbs 15:17.
What verse was that that you just read? I'm sorry.
That was Proverbs 15:2-4. 4 is what we looked at in the end. And I just said 15:17. I meant 15:7, rather. So let's look together at Proverbs 15:7. And this proverb says that the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of the fool are not so. So looking at this verse and doing a little bit of Bible study methods, putting into practice our skills that hopefully we've come to acquire over time, what is being contrasted here in 15:7? The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. The wise, what are they being contrasted with? What are they being compared to? To the fools, right? And what about lips? What are lips being contrasted with?
Heart.
All right, the heart. So lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of the fools are not so. This reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 12 or 13 when he says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's, again, a proverbial concept that it's what you feel, what you truly believe, it's going to make its way out of your mouth, which is why we need to guard our tongue, why we need to be so diligent in our speech. A couple of proverbs that go along with this thought are 4:23, which says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Then also 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountains of wisdom is a bubbling brook. So we need to especially guard our speech, right? Be careful not to speak too much. Be careful how we speak. We just ran through a ton of verses, ton of proverbs, again, all with deep meaning that we could spend a lot of time on. You guys have any thoughts or questions on any of that? A lot of rich stuff from King Solomon.
Well, it's consistent through all of Scripture that, you know, where it's talking about the tongue in the New Testament, and it says that like a what steers the ship?
A rudder.
The rudder that steers the ship. the tongue goes, it can lead to destruction and mm-hmm. fires of hell, or it can encourage and
yep.
and lift up other people. Okay. It's
throughout be careful.
Scripture, it's the heart where sin begins.
Yeah, it's the beginning verses of James 3, and there are a few illustrations there. It's the rudder. Look at how a small rudder can steer a large ship. And then a bit. Look at a bit in the mouth of a horse and how it can control this strong, wild animal. And then a fire. Look at this tiny little spark, and it can start this huge forest fire. And it compares that to the tongue. Look at the tongue, this tiny little thing, and how important it is that we control the tongue, that we tame the tongue. So much good can be done with the tongue. So much damage can also be done with the tongue. And so, with that said, let's look at some of the good that we can do with the tongue. I think that's really where we should focus our energy and our attention, is how we can encourage with the tongue. So let's, again, pick apart these verses. I'll go ahead and grab that first one. That way I won't forget what one I have. 15:23, and then I can get 15:30 because it'll be right there as well. What about 12:25? Who can grab that one for us? All right, Michael, again, good. You're going to get an A2. I think you were here before, but we're going to give out grades, so you can get an A today. 16:24, who's got that? All right, you're not one to be messed with. All right, he's a man of competition. And 28:23, Mike again. All right. So 15:23. And that verse says that a man has joy in an apt answer. How delightful is a timely word? So not to leave somebody waiting, right? I guess this kind of falls under encouragement, but to answer somebody quickly. This would be a good one to put on your email signature list, right? How a man has joy in an apt answer, and delightful is a timely word. Jumping down to verse 30. Says, bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. Wasn't it great to hear Jeremy talk about how Penelope was born today and how she's healthy? And I don't know if you guys have seen some of the pictures floating around, but doesn't that just put fat on your bones? Like, in a good way? I mean, we hear that and we think, oh man, I don't want fat on my bones. But that's a good sense of that phrase, right? Good word puts fat on the bones. 15:25. You got that one, Michael?
The righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite.
Oh, did I say 15:25? I meant 12:25.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad.
Amen. So again, that contrast between anxiety and a good word, and that good word is something we have the ability to do, just writing somebody a letter, sending somebody a text, picking up the phone and calling somebody. How easy it is to change somebody's day and the direction of somebody's day just with a good word. 16:24.
Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones.
Amen. And then Mike 28:23. You got that one for us?
He who rebukes a man will afterwards find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue.
All right, so that one's a little bit tricky, right? And I think somebody, was it you who already mentioned that tonight? How when you rebuke somebody, if they're a wise man, then they're going to be okay with that rebuke. However, other people won't receive that rebuke in the same way, so we have to be careful how we do that.
If you rebuke somebody, you have to deal with love, so you have to put that in that kind of a package instead of being hostile. You know?
Yeah.
And that loses the value.
Yep. Have to reprove with gentleness and respect, right? We have to be careful in how we correct our brother. And it's the man who is spiritual who should be doing that, right? Galatians 6, 1 and 2. So not just anybody. You have to check yourself first, make sure you're in a right mindset before going and confronting somebody else. And we're going to follow the order that Jesus gave us in Matthew 18, right?
Rebuke somebody publicly, they're probably not going to take too
kind. Yeah. Yeah, there are times when I think a public rebuke is necessary. When somebody sins publicly, I think you have to kind of match the degree and the publicity of the sin in your response, but not always. And that's definitely not the standard. The standard is go to that person privately, individually first. If that person doesn't hear you, you haven't won your brother. You need to take two or three with you. All right. Well, again, with the same tongue, we have the ability to not only encourage somebody and lift somebody up, edify and build them up, but also to curse somebody as well. Let's just pick a few of these out. I'll go ahead and grab 12, 18, and 16, 28, and let's see if we can get somebody to do 18, 6 through 8. All right, Jeremy's got that one. I told you guys last week, I'm going to put you to work throughout this series. I want this to be more of a discussion than just me sitting up here teaching to you. All right, 12, 18 says, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." So we see a contrast there. Speaking rashly like the thrust of a sword, that's not something we want to do. However, wise tongue brings healing. And then Proverbs 16:28, "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." So if you go off and you are gossiping, you're slandering, and not speaking to that person one-on-one, you have the, you're in danger of separating intimate friends, not just other friends, but yourself as well. And Jeremy got 18:6-8.
"A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body."
Isn't that true, that gossip, the words of a whisperer, somebody calls you up and says, "Hey, guess what I heard? Guess what so-and-so's doing?" And you're like, "Oh, a little dainty morsel. I want to bite. That sounds tasty. Sounds delectable." But it doesn't go down well, right? Goes to the innermost part of the body. It's going to affect you. And so, yeah, we need to avoid that slander, that gossip, the lips of a fool. Man, the tongue is an amazing tool, right? It can be a scary thing, can be a great instrument. Any thoughts or questions on how we can encourage somebody with our tongue, how we can curse or bring somebody down with that same tongue? Again, going back to James 3, how he talks about the tongue and says, with our tongue we curse man and we honor God with the same tongue and the same breath. He says that fresh water and salt water, they don't come from the same spring, do they? God forbid that we should be using our tongue to worship God and then to turn around and to curse man with that same tongue.
James also says to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Mm-hmm. That's an important
attribute. 1:19. And James has a lot to say about the tongue and speech. All right. Well, let's look at a couple of these fruits of holiness or ungodliness. What could result from, again, the way that we use our tongue, even aside from encouraging and cursing, but what does that result in ultimately? In 12:14, Proverbs 12:14, it says, "A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hand will return to him." So what we say and our speech is going to have an impact on the way that we live. What about this one? In Proverbs 16:21, it says, "The wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." Does that remind you of any other proverb, any modern day proverb? That sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness? I hear that and I think of that proverb that you can catch more flies with honey than vinegar. You guys have heard that, right? It's something your mom or grandma or somebody tells you when you're growing up and you're just being a punk. So a lot of those proverbs that we've kind of adopted into our culture really have their roots in these biblical proverbs. Sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. How much better would it be if we kind of brought those proverbs back to a biblical place and kind of replaced those modern proverbs with biblical proverbs? I think it'd be kind of cool. Let's look at this one, 18:20-21. Proverbs 18:20-21. That says, "With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Any ideas what that means? There's a lot going on there. Some of these proverbs, I'm telling you, you have to go back and read 3 or 4 times to really figure out what they're saying. Let me do this. Let me read that for you in the New Living Translation. That's not always my favorite translation for study, really getting into the word, but for reading, especially in Proverbs, I really like the New Living Translation. So Proverbs 18:20-21 in the New Living says that wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So again, we see some of these other proverbs coming in play here, right? Like, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Those who like to talk will reap the consequences. And talking about the gravity of the consequences, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those are steep consequences, right? Not just, yeah, I can encourage somebody, or I can bring somebody down and kind of mess up their day. No, it says the tongue can bring death or life. That's a powerful tool, and just draws our minds back to what James was saying in chapter 3, that ever-present warning about the tongue and how we have to keep it under wraps. We have to control the tongue. Well, let me close off with some of these warnings down on the bottom. These are some pretty blatant warnings, and they're not all the warnings we find about our speech within Proverbs, but it's a good list for us to keep in mind. Let me see if I can get a little bit of help dividing these up, and then we'll try to be done by 8. 23:9, who can get that one for me? Alex again. Michael, 19:1. 2019, we have a female. Oh, all right, Pamela, 2019. Jeremy, why don't you get 22:10-11, and I'll grab the rest here. So 23:9, was that you, Alex?
Yeah.
All right.
Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the inside of your speech.
All right. That's the same concept that Mike brought up a couple of times and he read for us. Again, don't cast your pearls before swine. Be careful who you talk to and what you say when you talk. Michael, 19:1.
Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool.
All right. That's pretty good wisdom there for us. 2019, was that Pamela?
Mm-hmm. He who holds about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip.
All right, what do you think about that? Therefore, there in Proverbs, that's great to see that going about with a slanderer or as a slanderer reveals secrets. So because of this, we need to be careful of our association. We looked at that a lot last week in Proverbs 1, right? Not to associate with the evil, not to walk with the sinners. The company that we keep, that's going to have a big impact on our righteousness, our holiness as well. Jeremy, 22:10-11.
Drive out the scoffer, and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend.
Amen. All right, and I will close with this longer section, but it's a longer section that is warning about this speech. And yeah, it's good. Let me read for us Proverbs 26, starting in verse 21. It says, like charcoal to hot embers and wood a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost part of the body. Like an earthen vessel overlaid with silver dross and burning lips and a wicked heart. He who hates disguises it. He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are 7 abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So again, there's just so much to say about the tongue, so much warning about the tongue, who we associate with, how we speak, when to speak and when not to speak. A lot of this comes, you have to employ wisdom, use discernment in when to open your mouth and when to keep quiet. We always want to speak truthfully when we do speak, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we always have to volunteer that truth, right? It feels weird to say that we don't always have to speak truth, but we don't always have to volunteer that truth. When we do speak, we want to speak truthfully. And I told you I had another homework assignment for you. Hopefully it's not too difficult, but I want us to try to work on this aspect of encouraging people with our words this week, particularly somebody who's not here, somebody who's not a part of our Wednesday night group. See how you might encourage somebody with a text or a phone call or a letter, just to use your words to build somebody up and to perhaps change their day and put a smile on their face and to please the Lord and to be obedient to Him in what He's called us to do. Any closing thoughts, comments? Yes, for sure.
I always thought it would be neat to have a picture from 25:11. It would fit these questions like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I don't know why no one ever paints that.
Yeah.
Any artist in the room, there's your challenge. There's
your homework. Yeah. I'll
travel to it. Yeah, I always want to see pictures of verses talking about trees dancing or waving. I think it'd be kind of cool too. All right. Well, let's pray and see if we can beat the snow home and get home safely. God, we do pray that we would get home safely, that you would take care of us and preserve us. Pray for those who weren't here, that you would encourage them and bless them. And God, I thank you for the Stuckers in there with the kids. Pray that they would be just growing up into men and women that love your word, that love your truth. God, thank you for the Xanders and how you bless them today with a new little girl. I pray that Penelope Joe would grow up and she too would fall in love with you, and that you would draw her to yourself, that she would do amazing things for your kingdom, for your name's sake. God, take us and use us this week for your glory, for building up your name. And God, we pray that you would be high and lifted up in this church, in this community, and in our hearts. Pray this in your name. Amen.